Thank God for music and to praise him with. Amen. We have walking, talking instruments of worship. Remember, our hands are also instruments of worship, and it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. 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 Well, since you're already standing, I'm going to read a few scriptures. It is always an honor to be able to speak to you. I thank Pastor for allowing me to speak to you tonight. I'm just going to read a few scriptures, and then I'll allow you to be seated. The first scripture is going to be John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Next one is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. It says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And then the last one is Colossians 4, verse 2, and it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. My thought for this evening is stay on course. Stay on course. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity, O Lord Jesus, to speak to us. Lord Jesus, help me, O Lord, tonight to pass on your word, God. Teach me as well as you teach your people. Lord, speak through me, O Lord Jesus, through your spirit. All these things I pray in your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. As my opening scriptures indicated, the principle of continuance, that is a theme throughout the Bible, that we continue in our walk with him, continue in our journey with him, continue on the path, or stay on course. It occurs, the word continue or abide occurs in scripture 144 times. My purpose tonight is to exhort you to continue in this faith and to give you some practical instructions on how to be consistent in your walk with Jesus. Tonight, I want to present to you an object lesson. That's, I'm going to use some type of metaphor to convey, physical metaphor to convey a spiritual concept. Amen? Because the Bible uses words like ship, shipwreck, sail, anchor, rudder, sea, castaway, and my favorite, captain. Because he is the captain of my salvation. Amen? Amen. I thought it necessary to take this approach. To those of you that know me, you know I was in the Navy. I served in the Navy 9 years, 13 days, and 4 hours. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. The Navy brought me here and met my wife. And 5 kids later, I'm still here, but this is my home now. And God has blessed me to have a church home as well. And I served on 2 different ships while I was in the Navy. One, obviously, under the water. And I re-enlisted, transferred, and I served on another ship on top of the water, a surface ship. I went across the Atlantic Ocean, that real big ocean called the Atlantic, and on the surface ship, I went across the Pacific Ocean. I thank God for that experience in my life. I realized in my old age that not too many people get to do that. So many people don't go on cruises or ships. We live in a real big country. Although they were 2 different types of ship, they had the same thing in common. We had to stay on course no matter what. A ship has to stay on course. So one of the things I want to do tonight, I want to give you a basic navigation course and a basic nautical or ship navigation. It's called dead reckoning. Somebody say dead reckoning.
Dead reckoning.
Dead reckoning. I reckon you're dead. No. No, you're not. But dead reckoning is a very, very basic form of navigation because it takes advantage of the principle that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Basically, if I start here in a known position and I move this way for a certain amount of time at a certain speed, then I should be here at another position or another known location. So, however, just as you're traveling at sea or even on land, by the way, it doesn't always work that way. We don't go in a straight line, especially if you're traveling over a long distance. It is some things happen. As if many of you have traveled for hours and hours or maybe days, you know that you may not reach your destination when you plan to. Traffic gets in the way, road construction, and condition of your car, and as well as the way you drive. In the Navy, on a ship, we endure storms and currents. And there's something called the Coriolis effect. Because the Earth turns on its axis, everybody does know the Earth turns on its axis. Ships are pulled off course. They drift to a certain direction over a long period of time. There is an error for that, and we have to compensate for that error. And that compensation is a course correction. We intended to go from point A, point B, but because of the Earth's rotation, because of a storm, because of whatever conditions of our ship, we are not on track or on course to meet our destination. And the Admiral wants to know why. Why aren't you on course at 7 o'clock? Why isn't your ship at the coordinates we agreed on? And the captain has to answer for that. Even though the shortest distance is a straight line between two points, your ship's traveling over a long distance can't always go that fast, can't always meet it. It's almost like when you plan a trip in your car, you have to account for traffic. As you probably already guessed, I have a deep appreciation for God's traveling mercy and GPS. Anybody ever heard of GPS and use GPS in their car these days? It's a common thing now where a satellite tells you where you are. A satellite gives you the direct position of where you are. You end up at the corner of Faith and Hope. I like that place. At the corner of Tithe Boulevard and Offering Avenue. A lot of people live there. A lot of happy people live there, I hope. But GPS gives you that position and lets you know where you are. We use the same thing in Navy ships. It's an embarrassing thing to find out that you're lost and you're off course and you don't know that you're off course. When you're off course and you don't know it, that is the definition of lost. Okay? I hope everybody understands that. When you're off course and don't realize you're off course, you're lost. Before there was GPS, we used road maps. And I had the experience of driving my family to Cleveland, Ohio, and back. I got lost on the way back. I took a right turn, another right turn, and another right turn. I know, that's a circle. It is quite embarrassing when four out of your five children know that You're going in circles and you don't. I took three right turns. I thought I was right. And by the way, it's not a good idea to tell your wife that knows your loss that you're the captain of this ship. Don't do that. Joseph and Josiah, don't do that. Josiah, don't do that. But four out of five children, we're going in circles. Circles, they're seeing the same sights over and over again. Being a navigational technician in the United States Navy on a submarine, I'm figuring, how hard could it be? I'm a Nav ET. I work with navigation equipment, but the mistake I made was I looked at the roadmap, Rand McNally, I'm going to blame it on him, and I thought I could remember what the map said. And sure enough, I was off. I was off. As you probably already guessed, I have a deep appreciation for God's grace and travel and mercy. But some questions come up when talking about staying on course and being in the water or on land. On the Navy ship, there's a person on a Navy ship, his whole job is to make sure we're on course and we are where we're supposed to be. His name is the navigator. He recommends to the captain, we need to turn in order to get back on course. That's his whole job, to know the position and time where we are on the ship. So there's some questions come up. How does the navigator know when he or she is off course? How would we know when we're off course? Incidentally, when you're driving your car, you're not only the operator of that vehicle, you're a navigator as well. And you're getting in turn-by-turn instructions from your GPS, and you're monitoring the map, you're navigating. Question number two, what does off course look like? What does it look like when you're off course? Question number three, how did I get off course in the first place? Question number four, how do I get back on course? And question number five, how do I stay on course and not get lost again? Good questions?
Sure.
We're going to go through them one by one, and hopefully you'll get some practical instructions, and maybe your walk with Jesus may be that much more on time and in step with him, or you may have a closer walk with him. Question number one, how does the navigator or anyone know that he or she is off course? Answer, what they do is they get a fixed position. As we talked about before, GPS tells them the latitude and longitude. It tells us the various streets or the highway or landmark that we're near. It tells the navigator that's out to sea the latitude and longitude where they are, according to the North Pole. With reference to the North Pole, it is called a true heading. And they compare that to where they were supposed to be, and then they recommend a course change. We need to come to the right or come to the left, make a right turn, left turn to get back onto our track so that we can be at our right destination. Psalms, before I say that, the GPS, global positioning system, or it's a satellite in the sky. There's many, many different satellites, but it's a light in the sky. And it shines a beam down on it. You've ever heard that the sun is our Earth's natural satellite. The moon is also a heavenly body from which sailors a long time ago used to get a fixed one. Many, many stars, the North Star, various constellations, right? That light from the North Star, the Big Dipper, would shine down on the ocean and cast a light beam. And from that, where it crossed with another known reference point, they could get a fix. They could say, we should be right here. Well, GPS simulates that. The problem with that is if it's a cloudy night, it's cloudy, you got no stars. Or if it's a storm, you can't see the sun. So many ships were lost or at sea and didn't know where they were. Off course. And the Bible, as I read the Bible, I wish I had read it before when I was at sea. But a scripture that describes that is Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is a satellite for us. That's how the navigator will know, by getting a fix. God will either reveal to you your position with respect to the gospel or remind you the terms in which he preached to you the gospel which we received in which we stand, and let us know, you know, where we stand. Another example is in 2 Samuel, when the man of God, the prophet Nathan, confronted David. 2 Samuel 12:17 says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." But David had committed sin. David went off course. It was after this statement that David repented, but that's another way that David knew he was off course. He probably knew before then, but that confrontation, the open statement of the truth, caused him to let him know, yeah, he was truly off course. And there is a response to that. Another one that Holy Ghost just gave me another one, is the grace of God. That still small voice will let you know you're off course. Brother Darren was up here talking, and he said, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Even at our picnic that we're going to have, our cookout that we're going to have, it may be an opportunity for someone to get back on track. Let's be sensitive to that. What does being off course look like? Well, for me, it looked like I was going in circles, and I wasn't really getting anywhere. Looked like that to all my kids, too. 4 out of 5. My baby girl didn't give me a hard time. But what does it look like? 1 Samuel 15:24. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed against the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He was surely lost. God told him to do one thing, but he listened to the voice of the people. You could be surely lost if you do that. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They were lost. They were off course and did not know it. They actually thought that they, because they did all these many things, that they were on walking with him or with him. A similar scripture in Matthew chapter 25, verses 43 to 45, where Jesus, he speaks about his second coming and judgment. And he says, and I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we then and hungered or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer to them, saying, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. It is possible to be lost and not know it. Question number three, how did I get off course in the first place? Just wanted to go back to that basic navigation lesson. There's a difference between a true heading and a relative heading or a magnetic heading. GPS is based on true north, where the North Pole is on the planet. And the planet is divided up into latitude and longitude. The information you're getting from GPS is true. However, anybody ever had a compass? Yeah. The needle on the compass is pointing to a magnetic North Pole based on the magnetic field that is around our planet. And it shifts. It shifts periodically. I think it's like every year. It shifts a little bit, and there's a divergence or variance data report that is printed out, and so you can compensate for it. Because if all you got is a magnet, then all you got is a compass, and that's all you got. But you have to account for the shifting of the magnetic field. So it's two different ones. You may be going by that magnetic heading, and you may be off course and not know it. Another way that you people get off course and don't know it, Brother Darren, I preach about it. Is it wise? Because there's that filter he talked about, right and wrong. Is this right or is this wrong? Or is it foolish or is it wise? If we're only going to go by what's right and what's wrong and not consider the wisdom of God, the word of God, the love of God, the grace of God, then we may miss our mark. Amen? And we may be lost and not know it. That's how we got off course. Psalm 73:3 says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." David knew what that was about. Isaiah 5:21, "Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own insight." I know a guy who thought he knew the roadmap on his way home, but he really, you know who I'm talking about. But being wise, in the Bible has many verses on not warning against being wise in your own eyes and trusting in your own mind. Please consult the word of God. Consult the wisdom of God. Ask God for wisdom. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25. This is a repeat verse in Proverbs. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That is in Proverbs twice. It may seem right, but its end are the ways of death. Many people get lost that way. I relied on the memory of my roadmap instead of checking the roadmap, and I was lost with my family. It was my fault. I needed to get back on course. Amen? Which brings us to the next question. How do I get back on course? Hosea 14:1 says, "O Israel, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." That's like repentance. Getting back on course means to repent. Amen? Lamentations 3:40. "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Second Corinthians 13:5. "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." I had to humble myself, ask for directions, and get back to the roadmap and get back on course. Self-examination is a way of life. It's a way of our lives. We're constantly looking at whether or not we are walking with him. God has given us a church to help us with that. where we can hear the word preached to us. We can hear the word taught to us. We can have fellowship with brothers and sisters who have a testimony. David said, "Thy testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." Your testimony is going to help someone to stay on course or to get back on course. Ask God to bless your testimony. Ask God to bless the words of the preacher today. Bless the words of the teacher. Ask them that someone may turn and get back on track. And the last question, how do I stay on course? Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. We can stay on course that way. Job 23:11. My foot has held his steps, and his way I kept and not declined. We have to make up our mind, have our mind made up. We're going to stay with him. And if we should drift off course, we're going to turn and come back. James 1:22-24. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was, being a doer of the word. Get yourself into the house of God. Become an active member. Be faithful in your prayer, Bible study attendance, your testimony and fellowship, and tithes and offering. The church provides course corrections and the opportunity for course corrections to anyone who desires to be close to Jesus. Our church doors are open to anyone desire to make a change in their life or regain the paths of righteousness. So when you're in a service and there's a move of God and the preacher is preaching the word of God or the teacher is teaching the word of God and someone is moved and there's an altar call and you see people going to the altar, know then that you have witnessed someone making a course correction. You have witnessed someone experiencing godly sorrow and is going to repent. You have witnessed someone getting back on course. Just as the fire in the under the altar in the tabernacle in the wilderness was never to go out, our church here, our church doors at Apostolic Lighthouse will always be open for someone to come and make that course correction, to make a change. We want this altar to always be available for someone who wants to come back. We pray for those who have backslidden or the prodigals who have gone astray and that they have a way to come back. We want to make this a welcoming atmosphere that they can, a no shame zone that they can come back and get back on course. Amen. Perhaps one of the most famous course corrections that I know of is in Acts chapter 2, verse 37-41. Says, now when they heard this, this is after the Apostle Peter preached. And I'm going to pick it up in Acts chapter 2, verse 37-41. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they gladly received his word and were baptized. And that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That was a course correction. They heard the word preached and they were convicted. They were pricked in their hearts and they turned. And they were baptized in Jesus' name. Another thing I want to talk about is another ship analogy or ship metaphor. It's called right the ship. Someone say right the ship. Right as in right hand the ship, or make the ship right. It does no good that, okay, you're on a course, you're off course, and you want to turn and come back, but your ship is not right. Something is wrong with your vehicle because you didn't check the tires, didn't check the oil, or the steer. Something is wrong with your steering. You can't turn and come back. And this is something that has to be done before you leave. It's called righting the ship. You are fixing an a catastrophic situation before you travel. You have to right the ship. It's one of the right the ship. It's one of the biggest responsibilities of a captain of a ship. In the Navy, we call it pre-underways. We spend our whole life with getting the ship ready to go to sea and then going to sea. Getting the ship ready to go to sea, then going to sea. Getting the ship ready. We have to right the ship. It's a long to-do list, but it has to be done. We're on a ship, and it has to be done when you're going on a long trip in your car. You have to right the ship, right? I got another voice recognition story, Pastor. I said, right the ship. I told my phone, right the ship. And the phone said, right to Bishop. Right the ship, right to Bishop. Can you imagine that? No, I want to right my ship, but it's telling me, no, right to Bishop. But I have Bible for this as well, though. Psalms 50, verse 23 says, whoso offereth praises, glorify me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. It is very important that we get our house in order. Getting your house in order, make right the ship. That is dealing with unrepented sin. Unrepented sin will prevent you from coming back and getting back on course. Repent of your sin. That is what's holding so many. Unrepented sin, resentment, unforgiveness, that could really hold you back from repenting. We have to make the ship right, or our conversation aright. Amen. My prayer. David said, unite my heart, O Lord, to fear thy name. Let the path that I think that I'm on be the same path that I'm supposed to be on. Amen. Unite my heart, O Lord. Jeremiah said, correct me, O Lord. Correct me, O Lord, in your just measure, but not in thy wrath, lest you bring me to nothing. O Lord, correct us. Would you stand with me and pray that with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your opportunity, O Lord Jesus, to be on the path with you. Lord, correct us if we should ever go off the path. Lord Jesus, forgive us, O Lord Jesus, of our sins where we have strayed, where we have unbelieved, O Lord Jesus, where we have resented, God. Lord Jesus, take it away from us, O Lord Jesus. Put away our sin. O Lord Jesus, we give you all the praise and all the glory, God. Help my brothers and sisters always, O Lord Jesus, to stay on the path by your grace, to always look to you, O Lord Jesus, the pioneer and finisher of our faith. O Lord Jesus, that they strive, O Lord Jesus, to be with you, God, in Jesus' name, that they encourage one another, God, to to look toward you, to let them know that, Lord, heaven is where you are. Paradise is where you are. Your presence, oh Lord Jesus, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Help us, oh Lord Jesus, to be sensitive to your presence, to be sensitive to your calling, to your prompting for us to return to you. All these things we pray in your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you tonight. Thank you for listening. Thank you again, Pastor, for letting me speak to him. Please stay on course. Oh, can you show my picture again? The picture? That is a picture of a lighthouse. The purpose of the lighthouse was to warn ships that if they got too close to where that lighthouse was, they could be on rocky waters. The ship could run aground. The bearing that they got from a lighthouse is a true bearing. It was based on where the North Pole, the actual North Pole was. It helped keep ships out of danger and to subsequently return home. Apostolic Lighthouse gives such a warning. Amen? That's why we're here. We're helping people to return home. Amen? God bless you. Thank you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.